message.
How are you? So good to be here. South Campus. The South Campus. C3 San Diego. The sapphire within a gem. This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable. Where am I again? The South Campus of C3 San Diego. The most famous C3 church on the planet. Whoa. Whatever they're saying, they're enjoying it. Well, I'm blown out by this. And so many of you come tonight. We might be breaking records, Drew. Yeah, today we might be breaking records. There's a lot of people here. Unbelievable. Give someone a high five. You can take your seats. And gosh, amazing. So I wasn't worshiping because you had two identical people. Like identical. So I was doing no worshiping. It was like one of those games, you know, can you tell the difference? They're identical pictures, but can you tell the difference? And I was thinking maybe one of them's got a scar. But two identical people. And the good news is if one of them's sick, just put a mirror up here. Just put a mirror up and you'll have two, every time, identical people. I'm blown out by this place. I've never seen that anywhere I've preached before. Two identical people doing identical actions. It's amazing. And Annika, I don't know where she is. She's probably having a cigarette. But Annika's kind of like, I don't care if you worship. I'm just going to worship. And she just doesn't care about you. She doesn't. She's just going to worship anyway. You know, and she knows she's beautiful in the Spirit of God. And Andy, who keeps it all together, because he's the coolest guy on the platform. Gosh, this place is amazing. Emma, I've got a present for you. Would you like a present? You know, for all the other women, I bought them perfume. I've got you a notepad. Like, that's because you're an up-and-coming preacher, so you can write more and more notes. You're destined to be the third best preacher in all of C3 San Diego. That's your destiny, the third best preacher. And so is a notepad, and there's some biscuits in here as well. Do we love Emma or do we love Emma? Bit embarrassing, slightly awkward there, but it's like waiting for a high five and someone's just turned their back on you, isn't it? And Drew, how likable is Drew? Like we all love each other, don't we? But somehow you love each other, but you don't like each other. But Drew, you love him and you like him. And the two of them together, there's something really likable. Oh. Like I was at North Campus. I kind of like Dr. Matt. You know what I mean? I kind of like him, but I really like Drew, you know? It's just, he's a humble guy. Together, they're like a tag team together. It's unbelievable. I'm enjoying being here tonight. And we're enjoying, Tebow runs our congregation in Birmingham. Stand up, Tebow. Do an Annika twirl, an Annika twirl. And we're enjoying being here. We love America. How good is America? Like I said in the South Campus, like we don't know what being British is about. Like you know what being American's about because you love America. But when you say to a British congregation, let's be British, they don't, no one knows. And someone said being British is driving a German car to an Irish pub to have a Belgian beer. And on the way home, picking up a Turkish kebab to sit on Swedish furniture to watch an American TV show on a Japanese TV. That's British. So we're just incredibly confused. But here, you're not confused. The land of opportunity is just a great place. I love being here. Gosh, I'm going to do this, right? I was thinking, shall I not do it? I said to Tebow, I'm not going to do it. But I've got an alter ego, and it's called Pastor Gilbert. It's an alter ego, right? It's weird, but every one of us have an eccentric side, don't we? Like a slightly weird side, you know? I'm actually a special edition. I'm not weird, right? I'm a special edition. But I Pastor Gilbert launched a healing ministry, and I've got a video of someone giving a testimony about the healing ministry of Pastor Gilbert. I wasn't going to show it, but there's something in the air that's made me go crazy tonight. I'm going crazy. I'm going mental tonight. It's just in the air. I'm breathing it in at the South Campus tonight. And you'll think that it's fairly serious, and after a while you'll realize that there's a tad of humor, British humor coming into this, right? So you'll be stunned for a little bit. You won't know how to take it, and then you'll know how to take it. Would you like to see it? I'm wasting a few minutes, but have you got the time tonight? Have we got a few minutes to waste? Well, let's hopefully it works. Otherwise, I'm embarrassed.
I've had them for as long as I can remember. Even back in primary school, I'd be sat in the classroom and it would just happen, and everybody would look, and after a while people got used to it, but then I'd meet someone new and then all of a sudden it'd be this thing again. It would just happen.
I'm pretty much blown away by it.
It would just come out of nowhere, and it could be as up to 10 times a day that it would happen, sometimes more. And there was no kind of telling when it would happen or when it might stop. It went on for years. And then, I can't remember a time where it didn't happen.
I'm humbled.
People wouldn't even bat an eyelid after a while. It just became, oh, that's just Amy's thing. It's just a part of who she is, Yeah, people adjusted after a while. But it was still, even myself, I guess I got used to it to a degree. I didn't really think twice about it, and then somebody would stop and say, why does that happen to you all the time? And I'd suddenly realise that this isn't something that's normal. It doesn't happen to everyone.
The most severe case has to have been Amy's case. I never heard anything like it before. Usually it just comes on people, like a couple of hours ago or 20 minutes ago. But with Amy, it's been a problem she's had for life.
No, my mum didn't have it. My nan didn't have it, as far as I'm aware. My great-grandmother didn't have it either. I don't know where it began. With me, I guess.
Well, I've always felt like with Healing Evangelist that I haven't had the power, but now this ministry's started to take off. I kind of feel like I'm part of the healing ministry. I'm a healing evangelist, and it's just I haven't tried to be a healing evangelist. It's just kind of crept up on me.
So there was this one day where my fiance and I were traveling down to London with Pastor Gilbert, and we were just chatting as you do, and catching up about life and what was happening with us and everything, and then there was this moment where I just hiccuped, and I could see Pastor Gilbert just look at me in the mirror, and I could tell that he was locked in.
Like it was just something like a radar locks into something, or a missile, when they press the switch and it just locks in. I locked in.
Pastor Gilbert just asked me, was this a regular thing, or if I just, well, he first asked me if I had hiccups, and I said, oh no, this is just me. This is a part of my life. It's just what I've always had.
I felt faith rise, and I thought, this is just an extension of the boundaries of this healing ministry that started in my life. So I thought, I'm going to go for it. I didn't feel like stepping back thinking this is too big for me.
Pastor Gilbert just said, you know what, I'm going to pray over this now. And
I felt like David against Goliath. I felt like I could rise to this. And so I ran toward this.
And he said, you know, we're not standing for this anymore. This shouldn't be a part of your life. And, you know, it turns out he has a ministry for hiccups. You know, people just have to drop him a text.
And it goes immediately. Sometimes I've heard that people just see a picture of me. I don't know where they've got the picture, you know. I've handed a few out. I posted quite a few selfies. But and they've just seen it and it's instantly gone.
Now it's just this story of breakthrough and change where, you know, instead of 10 to 15 times a day, maybe it's once or twice a week. And, you know, and it's just a big change, and it's something that's strange to adjust to almost. But now I've just, this is me now, and this is change now. And, you know, we've seen real breakthrough thanks to Pastor Gilbert's faith in this ministry area, and it's been exciting.
Well, every ministry needs a catchphrase, and I know Reinhard Bonnke has from Cairo to Cape Town, all shall be saved. My catchphrase is hiccup your cross, and people find it amusing, but one of my vision statements is to put a smile on people's face. Not everyone's as lucky as Amy. You can join me on the Hiccup Your Cross tour.
If you are suffering like I was, because God cares about the small stuff that matters to you as well, and you could get healed just like I was. And, you know, even if you can't make the tour, then God really cares about you.
I've developed some more merchandise. This is the Hiccup Your Cross t-shirt, and I think this might be selling for about a tenner. This is not quite right. My PA's done this. Just hiccup your cross. You just put stickers on the mug instead of actually getting it printed. So I'm slightly disappointed by that because it's dropped the standard of merch down a bit. I can only maybe charge another couple of pounds for putting the sticker on. I'm going to develop a whole, like rulers, pencils, calendars, all that kind of stuff, you know, the usual stuff.
Thank you, C3 South Campus. Thank you. Well, a bit of stupidity there. So, I had this revelation from God that God hates the color beige. And I realized why. It's because beige is so bland, it's so boring, it's so ordinary, and you won't find it in the rainbow. And God's will is for you, South Campus, to be the most exciting, the most electrifying people the world has ever seen. You're here to be the Christopher Columbuses, to launch into the high seas and search out for new nations for the kingdom of God. So there's a sense of discovery in you, a sense of adventure in you, everything but the color beige. You're meant to be fluorescent pink. You're meant to be, you know, orange and purple, but not beige. In actual fact, beige isn't actually a color. And if it was, it was developed by Satan. So I wrote a book called Rage Against Beige. And it have little expressions on, like, don't visit Beijing on the right-hand side. Don't eat bagels on the right-hand side. Just pictures on the left-hand side. And this, I thought it was a pretty good book. It took me a day and a half to write this book. And I sent it off to book publishing houses, right? And even to America. And every publishing house sent it back to me unopened. And my PA thought, we're not having that. So she sent it to IKEA UK. I was sitting in Starbucks in London and I get a phone call from the general manager of IKEA UK. And he was talking with a Swedish accent. I thought it was my friend Glenn putting on a Swedish accent. And so, you know what I mean? I've got a lot of prankster friends. But he knew too much. And he said, I just love the book. I love the Rage Against Beige, Say No to Beige, Go on a Beige Rage. He said, I love all that. He said, how much do you want for the book? And I'm thinking, I don't know, because I just wanted it published. I didn't want to sell the book. And I just kind of fell apart a little bit. I said, can you give me a ballpark figure of how much you'll give me for the book? And the general manager right here, okay, said, yeah, I think I can give you a ballpark figure. He said, how does 75,000 American sound? Well, I fainted. I said, Peter, I'll give you a ring back. I don't know why I said that, but I phoned up the source of faith and power and wisdom of my life, my wife. And I said, what am I going to do? She said, Dave, don't cave in. She's singing Hot Dub. She's singing Cruises for the rest of her life. She's singing in Hawaii. And she said to me, go for 90,000. She said, 90,000. So I just, yes, yes, master. I call him master every now and again. She feels good about that, right? And so I rang up Peter. I said, listen, I'll do it for 90,000. He said, oh, I'm so sorry, Dave. He said, our budget only goes up to 75,000. I said, it'll be a sacrifice, Peter, but you've got yourself a deal. And I become an official supplier of IKEA UK of a book called Rage Against Beige. Rage Against Beige. And you know, in between that time and this time, I've also had a revelation that God hates Volvos. Because Volvos, to get your money's worth, you gotta have a pretty decent accident. Because all the money's in the airbags. And God doesn't, you know, your life is too safe. Your life is too sanctimonious. Your life is too protected. Your life is too much like a Volvo. It needs to be more like a Ferrari. It needs to have a roar to it. It needs to have a sense of excitement to it. And you know, if God was to rewrite, he told me this, if he was to rewrite the Proverbs, it says there's 8 things I detest, 7 things that I hate. He would have added another thing there. He would have said, I detest people that drive beige Volvos. Have you seen them in their brown jumper? In their brown knitted jumper? God hates Volvos and God hates beige because we're born to be the most dynamic people on the face of planet Earth. Now, I've discovered this about Christians. In the most Christians were more exciting before they got saved. Think about it. Most Christians were more exciting before they got saved than after they got saved. Something happens to Christians when they get saved. Pre-salvation, you spent your time painting the town red. Can I hear a muted amen? Uh-huh. Post-salvation, you spent all your time painting the church beige. Can I hear a muted amen? You've gone from red to beige. Something is dramatically wrong in your Christian experience. You should have gone from beige to red, not from red to beige. You should have been let loose by the Spirit of God, not in bondage by the spirit of religion. Something's gone wrong. And you know, I heard this guy give a testimony once and he said, you know, before I was saved, he said, I was wicked and boring. He said, I want to really thank God that I'm no longer wicked. And that's where a lot of Christians are stuck. They're stuck in a world of boring. I'm amazed how bored I get talking to Christians. I should be alive and stimulated, but it's hard to keep my eyes open sometimes talking to the redeemed, the saved, the sanctified. And I've often wondered just why, what happens at salvation that changes people. And you know, I've got a feeling that people misunderstand the gospel, misunderstand themselves. When people get saved now, they spend the first night of their saved life pressing the delete button on Facebook. Delete, 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 delete. Oh, I'm clean now. Look at my history, my internet history. Nothing wrong there. It's because we know that God hates sin, but God doesn't hate sinners. And what you should have done is got Photoshop out, in that you might not have known the chick that your arm was around, and you might have had an alcoholic problem with the beer in your hand. You should have Photoshopped the beer out, got rid of the girl and your right arm, kept yourself in the picture and not pressed delete. Because God hates sin, but God loved the sinner. God loved you. And you know, it's ridiculous ever to say that somebody is far away from God. Like, how, when you say that your brother is far, how far away from God is he? 1,000,000 miles? Like, how far away? You know, is he 10,000 miles away? Is he like Mars from Venus away? How far away is he from God? It's just ridiculous, because nobody has ever been more than an arm's length away from God in their entire lives and in the history of humanity. That's the truth of it. That you've never been far from God. That wherever you've gone, God's gone with you. That God's no more than an arm's length away from every ISIS commander. He's one arm's length away. For all of the regime of Hitler, God was one arm's length away from him every minute of every day of every year of his life, even through the horrors of sin. Why? Because God hates sin, but God loves the sinner. So your doctrine's wrong. You should never say again that somebody's far away from God. Because you are never far from God. And in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your dead end alley, all you did was turn to the right and say, God, are you there? He said, yeah, I've always been here. And you said, God, I'm sorry. He says, I already forgave you on the cross. So I give you my life. He says, yes. And so you've kind of got this understanding that all of your previous life was sinful, and all of your post-salvation life is okay. And yet it's not exactly true, because before God ever became your savior, God was your creator. Now, this is true and not true. Your Christian life began at birth. It's true and not true. But God was your creator before God was your savior. And so there's got to be bits of God in you pre-salvation, because you're made in the image, twisted, but made in the image of God. You know, one of my favorite movies is Bruce Almighty. And you know, Jim Carrey, Bruce, gets... He was the small town reporter, and he gets the powers of God, you know, so he becomes the anchor man, you know. And not only that, he falls in love with Jennifer Aniston and lassos the moon. It caused a tsunami in Japan, which prophetic. And then he gets run over by a truck and he dies. You've seen the movie. And then he goes to meet God, which Morgan Freeman is God. Say what? He's God. And then Morgan Freeman says to Bruce Almighty, says, hey, the thing about you, Bruce, everybody's got a divine spark in them. Yours is to bring fun and laughter to the world around about you. And so then he got the chance to live again. He became the small town reporter and he lived his life happily ever after. Because he blew on his divine spark. That divine spark, it says in Psalm 139, it's verse number 13 and 14, it says that God knit you together in your mother's womb, that he created your inmost being, that you are, come on, fearfully and wonderfully made. You've been fashioned, put together by the hand of God, not at salvation, but at the genius of creation. That's when your life began. That's when God put his blueprint on you, at creation, not just at salvation. It was at creation. Are you with me? So you should be able to put your CSI outfit on, and you should be able to go back through the history of your life pre-salvation and find the DNA of God splattered in the history of your life. I did it. When I went to university, I went to Sydney University, studied civil engineering, but I didn't study. I just photocopied everybody else's lecture notes once a month. That's what I did. I didn't get up before 12:30 any day. And sure, I failed, but it was a fun year. And you know, students are what the British call skint. They've got no money. And so I thought, I'll just break into things. So I used to break into the residential kitchen to get food. And then I thought, I'll break into concerts because I love concerts. So I broke into the Elton John concert 3 times in a row. I don't know about you, but I get challenged. He's on 3 nights. And I thought, Dave, that's a challenge. So I got in the first night. I thought, Dave, you can't just stop there. And somehow I got in the second night. I thought, gosh, I can't leave it at 2 out of 3. Even the meatloaf says it ain't bad. You get that tomorrow. So I was waiting in line. I had no plan B. I was waiting in line, right? Getting closer and closer to the stewardess. Thinking, what am I going to do, right? I was starting to panic. Maybe I prayed, maybe I didn't. It's not important to this story. And then I got, and there was one person in front of me. And it was like a miracle erupted before me. They had the same idea and they ran to the right. And every bouncer and every steward, all 23 of them, ran after him. I had a great night with Rocket Man. Walking the yellow brick road down to the front of the concert. That was a great night. You know, this band came to Sydney University, a big Australian band, and I cased the joint, had bars on the window. So I thought, I can't get in. And then I thought, no, you can get in, Dave. So well, how will I get in, Dave? Dave said, dress up as a roadie. So I said to Dave, really? What shall I do? He said, get a marker pen and write the name of the band just on a pair of overalls. Get a box with nothing in it. And just walk in. So I did that because Dave told me to do it. Naughty Dave. And I walked past, you know, the 35 stone bouncers right into the bathroom, took the overalls off, had a great night. Now, let me say this, C3 San Diego. That is a gift from God. Now, the only difference between me and the guys in prison is they got caught. But prison is filled with some amazingly gifted people. They're all slightly stupid, but they're very, very gifted people. Now, 26 years ago, my wife and I flew from Brisbane, Australia to Sheffield. There was a disaster where 100 people died in a soccer stadium. And it kind of just flicked a switch for us. And so we flew. We'd never been to Sheffield before. And so we flew in and we started Hope City Church. Nobody invited us to Sheffield. I didn't get a phone call from the mayor of Sheffield. So, oh, Dave. Really need you, you. Love you. No. We broke in to Sheffield. And then we started in Manchester. We broke into Manchester. Then we broke into Newcastle. We broke into Sunderland. We broke into Leeds. We broke into Birmingham. We broke into London. We broke into Accra in Ghana. We broke into Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia. And you know, I didn't even like Germans. We broke into Germany. I mean, it's just amazing. It's because I'm gifted. It's the same gift. The ability to get in places uninvited. Uninvited. Even Adele's got that gift. It's just the difference between me breaking into concerts and me breaking into cities. It's just that this gift is still alive. It's just detached from evil and attached to righteousness. But some of you, it remains detached. That's why you're so dull. No, seriously, that's why you're so boring. That's why life's so boring for you. Because it remains detached. You detached it from evil. Aren't you good? Yeah, but you're good and dull. You're good and boring. Boring's got to be a sin, doesn't it? So you're very, very sinful because you left your va-va-voom back at the cross. And God wants you to get your va-va-voom back. He wants you to get your pizzazz back. Your mojo back. He wants you to go back to the cross and get it back again. You left something somewhere. Your pizzazz. Some of you need to make a short trip back to the cross and have a look around for your va-va-voom. Because you lost it. No, you lost it. You ought to be dynamic, exciting, ruthless, reckless. See? Instead, you just want another word from God just to cover your fear of the unknown. You know, make sure God said, then God underlines, then God affirms, then two or three witnesses. I'll go for 300 before I do something for God. Masking your boringness with spirituality. Because the truth for every kingdom dweller, everything's go unless God says stop. Every light's green unless God turns it red. Two-thirds of God is go, not stop. And so we go out in the name of the Lord Jesus until He tells us to stop. Everything's green. Everything's exciting. Everything's dynamic. You can do whatever you want to do until God says stop doing it. And then you stop doing it. So let's go back to the birthing canal. So, you know, when you're born, each one of us is born with generally there's a mixture of four personality types. And you know them, right? There's choleric, which if you're an animal, you'd be lion-spirited. If you had a catchphrase, it's, hey, let's do it now. If you're a car, you'd be a green Porsche. And so you started off, you know, as a baby, then as a toddler and as a child and as a teenager in your green Porsche. But you know, life's great because you're pushing people around. Life's great because there's a bit of leadership in you. Life's great because you're organizing things and you're getting things done. But you know, generally you've got a temper problem. And your temper doesn't, it's not rooted in bad temper. It's rooted in bad disappointment. That you get disappointed in yourself and disappointed in others. So it turns into temper, but it's because your standards are so high. And that relationship that you are meant to have just busted apart because of your temper problem. And just two of the tires just burst apart. And wobbling down the freeway, someone tells you about Jesus Christ. And so you pull in at the cross. And someone then says, you know, that Jesus Christ is your creator. He's your savior. Would you like your sins forgiven? You say, yeah, forgive me my sins and come into my heart. You do the sinner's prayer, which some of you will do at the end of the service, and everything's really good. But you drove in a racing green Porsche and now you're saved. But here's the problem. You drive out in a brown Hyundai. Now listen, nobody should be seen ever, ever driving a brown Hyundai. And some of you think, what's wrong with my life? Wind down the window, have a look at the car you're driving. You're in the wrong car. Yeah, but the engine's good. Yeah, the engine's good, but it's a Hyundai. The engine's good, but the car ain't good. The car ain't good. You left your green Porsche back at the cross. Back at the cross. You need to go back to the cross and collect it. See, I'm going to do the other three now, right? So some of you are born like melancholic. You're born to be strategic. Your catchphrase isn't let's do it now. Your catchphrase is let's do it right. I'm a melancholic choleric. My catchphrase is let's do it right now. And so if you're an animal, you kind of be like an owl, but if you're a car, you'd be like a silver Mercedes. And you know, you in the silver Mercedes, you're burning down the freeway of childhood and your teenage years and into 20s and that. And life's good, you're a strategizer. You're somebody who works out not just we're going somewhere, but how we're gonna get there. You're a detailed person. You're a planner. But at the same time, there's something about your heart that gets cold quickly. That somehow you put strategies and systems above love for people and care for people. You become the ice queen. And that business that was meant to thrive suddenly collapses because nobody wants to work for the ice queen anymore. And all of a sudden, the panels on the right-hand side, it's as if someone charges into the panels. You can hardly drive your car anymore. And so you got a friend who told you about Jesus. So you drive into the cross and you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you ask God to come into your life and give you everlasting life. And it's brilliant, but here's the problem. You drove in a silver Mercedes. Everything was right at that point, but you drove out in a Suzuki Swift. Nobody should have ever bought a Suzuki Swift. And you're thinking, well, why is life so rubbish? No, wind down the window. It's a Suzuki. They should have stuck with motorbikes. What are you doing driving a Suzuki? You need to get out of your Suzuki and you need to walk back to the cross and get your Merc back. Get your Merc back. Get your Merc back. I need to do the other two. If you're sanguine, then you're a party person. You're a party person. If you're an animal, you'd be a meerkat. Just if you had a catchphrase, it's not let's do it right, it's not let's do it now, it's let's have fun doing it. So, you know, you're driving along. If you're a car, you'd be a red Mini with a Union Jack on the roof. Uh-huh. Very rowdy over there. And so you're driving down the freeway and your teenage years and people, you know, the thing is that you don't just go to one party of a nighttime, you go to three parties of a nighttime. The thing is, you don't just go out with one person, did you? Did you? You went out with two people, didn't you? Didn't you? At the same time, two people at the same time. Two people, until they met each other in a bathroom. Anyway, that's the end of the word of knowledge, right? Because you love socialization, you also love naughtiness. You're attracted to naughtiness. And naughtiness led to marijuana that led to cocaine that led to addiction. You're addicted. Someone tells you about Jesus Christ. So you drive into the cross and you realize Jesus Christ is Lord, that he can reduce and he can take away every addiction that you've got. And he loves you to have a party. It just needs to be a controlled party with the Holy Spirit there. Your sins are forgiven. So you know the rap. You drove in a mini, red mini with a Union Jack, but you drove out in a beige Volvo. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong. There's nothing wrong with your heart. There's something wrong with the car. You're being somebody else's life instead of being your life. You've got a life. You've got a divine spark. You were born with va-va-voom. But you left your va-va-voom back at the cross, and God wants you to come and get it back again. I could do the last one. Phlegmatic people, they're not let's do it right or let's do it now or let's have fun doing it. They're let me help you do it. So they're not even a car. They're a four-wheel drive to collect your junk. They're the ones being whipped around this place by Drew to do all of these panels. This nail gun. Chun, 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 chun. Who's doing all the nail gunning? The phlegmatics serving Drew in the project. So if you're driving down in your four-wheel drive collecting everybody else's junk. But you know, there's something in you that has a switch towards subservience, not just to serve, but subservience. And so you lose your sense of identity. You come into a relationship where someone else dominates you and you become subservient to that person. They begin to abuse you. You've been in many abusive relationships until finally you felt like committing suicide because you felt absolutely devalued. And while walking up to that bridge, someone you knew from junior school yelled at you, a Christian. They told you about Jesus. And so you parked into the cross, your Range Rover at the cross. You become a Christian. Jesus Christ has become your best friend. You don't drive out, you bicycle out. You're on a bike. No one's born to cycle. Otherwise, you'd be born with a bicycle. No one's born to cycle. What? Why are you cycling everywhere? So you think, oh, life's really difficult. No. It's because you're on a bicycle. That's why life's difficult. You're on a bike. Here's cycle back to the cross. Get your va-va-voom back. Get your vav out, get your pizzazz back. I did it. That's why I'm so exciting. Sorry, I wouldn't do that in Texas. It's slightly gay, that, right? Okay. California's all right, yeah? Okay, yeah. Not Texas. I'm not going to Texas. Jeans are too tight. Sticking in California. So I said, Lord, do you mind if I have a look around? He said, at your service, Dave. So I'm at the foot of the cross, having a look around. So I'm scratching away. There's barbed wire of my rebellion. There's the oil slick of my pride. There's the car tires of my independence. And I'm scratching around thinking, Lord, is that part of a Union Jack? He starts to cry because he knows that even in my religious freedom, I've never found freedom. That he's seen the straitjacket on me year in, year out, too concerned with what other people think. He's seen a guy who's never experienced the fullness of joy and yet preaches it. So I said, Lord, that's yours. That's your Mini, the Union Jack on the roof. I said, Holy Spirit, will you help me get it out? And he said, yeah, I love being the claw. You know the claw? Jim Carrey.
and say, help bring it out, right? Parks it. He says, Dave, just back up that beige Volvo. And he takes out the V8 turbocharged engine, because when God changes your heart, he creates a beautiful heart. Most of you in this room have got a beautiful God-given heart. It's just in the wrong vehicle. So the Holy Spirit just helps you unscrew it. And then takes out the motor mower engine out of your beautiful car and then puts in the V8 turbocharged engine. And you know, the bonnet doesn't fit, so you get some bungee cords just to wrap around it, because the new heart doesn't fit you. It doesn't suit you. It's too big for you. We're filled with the same power that rose Christ from the dead. It dwells in you. It's the oddest thing that God should dwell within humanity, within broken humanity, within you, but he does. It doesn't look right, but it is right. He said, Dave, hop in and live happily ever after. Band rise now, band. Bit more volume. That's it. That's it. Everyone doesn't have to stand up. Just a few people stand up. Yeah, that's it. Now quickly take a seat. So my son, let me say this just before I tell you my final story. I have some resources. This is my book, The Hit Factory. And it's about you being the next you. The next you is the next big thing. And if you could find the person that God created you to be, and if you could attach it to the new man within you, we've got liftoff. And if you could be new, if you could put yourself together again, you're getting yourself ready for the greatest move of God this world has ever seen, because the next you is the beginning of the next move of the Spirit of God. That's why I'm here tonight. This is my book, Jesus Saved Me From Your Followers. This is my book, If You Think You Can, If You Think You Can't. It's called Think. Henry Ford said, if you think you can, think you can't about a thing, you're both right. So, you know, this book says you can't have your cake and eat it too. I've got a whole chapter on why don't you bake two cakes? The sacred cows make great barbecues. This is my map of the Christian's mind. It's called The Mind Map, Dave Gilpin's Mind Map. Because inside every one of you are fields of dreams. In your mind are floods of emotion. In your mind are trains of thought and cities of habit. Here's the catchphrase. The skyline of your mind will determine the skyline of your future. You've got to change the way you think in order to experience the Maserati of God's good, perfect, and pleasing will. Can you say amen? And my wife's coffee book here is called She Is, and it takes the Proverbs 31 woman and it dissects it. This is her personal journals. She's got a mighty walk with God, an incredible devotional life. And I think for every woman in the place, this would bless you. And finally, this is my book called Man Boobs. And other human rights. It's in defense of the male species. I believe it's right for every man to grow a pair of man boobs from 35 to 45, but they must lose it, otherwise they'll die early. If you buy three, you get the fourth one for free. That's British generosity. That's as far as it goes. So my son, when he was like, I don't know, 12, got one son trying to save the planet. He said, Dad, let's go and see Mary Poppins in the West End. But he was having me on because he knows that Mary Poppins has booked out. It was a brand new stage musical at the West End. And it just come out, and every new show on the West End is booked up for at least 6 months in advance. So he kind of knew that. And I started to say, listen, love to, but this is book. And I stopped halfway through and he looked at me and I looked at him. We said nothing, but we knew exactly what we were thinking. Dad's got the gift. So I said, I'm going to preach over here. I don't know what they've been smoking, but it's doing good. Okay. So I said, when do you want to go? He said, let's go on Friday. I said, Friday night's it. Let's drive down there. So I drove down there and we went to Leicester Square where all the ticket touts are. And we said, we'd like two tickets to Mary Poppins. And they laughed because it says booked out for 12 months. You're not going to be able to get a ticket. I said, whereabouts is the theater? They said, it's in Soho. And so we go for a walk. Soho, and it's 6:30, it starts at 7:30. About 10 past seven, he looks at me and I look at him. We think God's got 20 minutes to come through. You know, otherwise just drive, we didn't drive down to then drive back again, 3.5 hours, you know, that'd be dumb, stupid. Twenty-eight minutes passed. This guy comes out and he says, I've got two tickets. Who wants them? So he grabbed them. My son starts to walk up to the gallery and the guy pulls them back. He says, no, we're going to the stalls. We're going to where Bert and Ernie sit, where the Queen sits. So he takes us to the prime position in the theater, sits us down. The show starts the very second our derriere hit the seat. The show started. I missed the entire first half of Mary Poppins because I was texting everybody. I got in because I've still got the gift. I've got the gift. I've got the gift. I've got the gift. Come on, stand up. You've got the gift. I got the gift. You got the gift. I was born with the gift. You were born with the gift. You were born with va-va-voom. You were born with pizzazz. You were born gifted. You were born in strength. You were born with the DNA of heaven all over you. You were born creative. You were born adventurous. You were born for faith. You were born for adventure. You were born for breakthrough. You were born to be a kingdom dweller. You were born for open, spacious places. You weren't born to live in a hole. You weren't born for the spirit of religion. You were born to bust free of the spirit of religion. I got the gift, you got the gift. I got the gift, you've got the gift. I got the gift, you've got the gift. We've got the gift. We've got the gift. You've 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 got the gift. The giftings and callings of God are irrevocable. God can't reverse it. You were born gifted. You were born special. And it's in you right now. It's slightly disconnected. But we're going to make a mass prayer of reconnection. Of reconnection. Now, it's gonna take me doing the quickest alt call you've ever seen in your life. But then there's authority here. Where there's authority, the Spirit of God reigns. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and there is freedom to crush the spirit of religion, set you free for the best years, to live happily ever after, happily ever after, happily ever after. Enjoy peace and righteousness. Joy, peace. The kingdom of God is not food and drink. It's joy, it's peace, it's righteousness. Happily ever after. You got the gift, I got the gift. You got the gift, I've got the gift. Before we do, some of you have never connected to God. And this is a prayer. Some of you thought, I've been miles away from God. You've come tonight, you realize you're actually just one prayer away. And I'm going to pray a prayer now to get you connected. The moment you say, come into my heart, He does it immediately. The moment you say, God, forgive me, He does it immediately. And so every backslider, just bent over with condemnation, this is a prayer for you. And every person who's been religious, who has never been in contact with the living God, this is a prayer for you. I want everyone in the room to help me out. Close your eyes and bow your heads and say this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, You found me. It's unbelievable. In this hole, in this crack in the earth's surface, You found me. I am blown out by Your kindness. You've chased me down. I didn't think You were so good, but You are. I ask You to come into my heart and be my Lord, be my Savior, be my leader. I ask You to forgive me of every sin and take away my condemnation and my guilt and exchange it for Your righteousness. I thank You, God. From this moment on, I'm saved. Forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you so much.